Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of On Point. Hope everyone's doing well, had a good week. I have on with me Lady Sincere.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Ready for the holidays. You?
I'm doing well. I'm your host, Dr. J. Some folks call me the professor. We have A-Trey coming online with us here shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about Christmas today. So, you know, what do you normally do to celebrate the holidays?
Well, of course, my cousins back at home in Detroit, Michigan, they give a big party, you know, a big celebration. We come over with our gifts. We exchange gifts. We have food. We may play a couple games, take some pictures, watch a movie or two. But most of all, it's about giving and sharing. But not to forget that food. I love to eat. So, you know, that good old soul food with the chicken and mac and cheese and greens. And don't let me get started.
Yeah, that's the good stuff right there. I'm a fan of Christmas. Usually Christmas and Thanksgiving are the times that I really throw down in the kitchen. I usually start cooking on Thanksgiving, usually the Monday before, and I don't stop until Thursday. On Christmas, I dial it back a little bit. Maybe I make some cookies and hot chocolate, maybe some glog or something like that. I used to keep a big crock pot of hot chocolate or, you know, a hot pot of something to drink all during the course of the day. And, you know, sometimes I'll even make tamales, you know, and sometimes I'll actually cook a big meal. But today we're going to be talking about Christmas, and it's just a few days away. But what do we really know about Christmas? What are the origins of it? Now, is it a holiday rooted in Christian beliefs, or is it a holiday that actually comes from any particular religion? We're going to look at who is Santa. Have you ever heard of Schwarz Pete? Are you familiar with him, ladies and gentlemen, Schwarz Pete? And I'm going to introduce everyone to Schwarz Pete who doesn't know about him today.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a little bit about him.
Okay, all right. We're going to break down and explore some of the traditions' perspectives and history of Christmas in our segment, just so you know. So you can always, as always, follow us on Twitter at OnPointPhoenix, and then also you can email us at OnPointPhoenix@gmail.com during the show, and you can always call us at 855-866-2. So we're talking really sincere about Christmas. And, you know, going back to your earliest memory, what's your earliest memory of Christmas? What do you remember, like, what was special about it for you?
What was special to me? I'd say when I was about 5 years old, you know, as a kid, you're really excited for Christmas. You know, for one, you're out of school, so you're on break. On top of that, you had this big Christmas tree full of lights. But when I was a little kid, my mom would always take me down south to Arkansas, which is where she's from. And I would be with my cousin, be with my family, and, you know, we would exchange gifts and, you know, what you get or what I get, you know, and just we would have fun with it, listen to some music. Of course, it came with cookies, you know, it came with so much, you know. And as I grew older, it, you know, it seemed like it kind of left me a little bit, because I think that Christmas is really for kids, far as the gifts, the exchange, and having fun with it, you know. But I remember, like, when I was 5 years old, and my grandmother had bought me this doll, and I was really excited because this is the doll that I've been wanting. Remember the Cabbage Patch Kids? The Cabbage Patch Kids, that may be
Cabbage,
like,
Cabbage Patch Kids, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that is a classic. So that was like one of my very first dolls, and I had a lot of memories with it, so I really enjoyed it. I say each year I went to Arkansas probably until the age of maybe 12, 13, and then, you know, I stopped doing it. But I had fun, you know, just being with my family, you know, exchanging gifts and having fun and being out of town. So I had a ball with that, you know. But as I said before,
gotcha.
I think that it's something really now for the kids. I know some people that don't even celebrate Christmas, and I don't think it's fair to the kids, because even if you have your beliefs of not celebrating Christmas, but don't make that for your child. You know what I mean? Like, let them experience, let them have fun with it. And then as they get older, and they may realize, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't, but to not celebrate Christmas at all and take that from them, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's right.
Well,
you know,
that's an interesting perspective, because, you know, as a kid, my family didn't really celebrate Christmas. So we had a different perspective. So it was tough on us because they didn't celebrate it when other kids came out, you know, Christmas morning, the day after, with all these new toys. And they're like, what, you guys don't celebrate Christmas? So it's kind of interesting. Now, me personally, I celebrate Christmas mostly for my son. You know, and I enjoy the music. I enjoy the food. I enjoy that feeling in the air that folks have, because it seems to be more of a feeling of giving. And think that it's, you know, people take that time of the year to be special to each other, to give to each other, and so on and so forth. But, you know, and if you have any kids listening, I'll give you 5 seconds. Spoiler alert, cover their ears. All right. So, Patrice, how old were you when you found out there was no Santa?
I was 8 years old, and I wasn't so happy about it. I was 8 years old. I was talking to my cousin. I was at his house. It wasn't even Christmas then. It was maybe a couple of months before Christmas. And he was telling me, like, because my cousin was, like, maybe 3-4 years older than me. So he was telling me, like, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And as a little girl, I'm like, yes, there is. You know, I used to get my little cookies and milk and everything prepared and leave it on the table and thinking that he would come down the chimney and eat these cookies and drink this milk. You know, so I was about 8 years old when my cousin ruined it for me. So if you're out there listening, yeah, I'm talking about you.
Okay. So your cousin ruined Christmas for you. Trey, we were just, good morning. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, thank you greatly. I am.
Excellent. You know, I just had folks cover the kids' ears because I asked Patrice how old she was when he found there was no Santa. And I was saying, how old were you when you found out there was no Santa? Or did you always know there was no Santa?
Mine was early. Mine was about 6 years old. I was in my bed. My room was getting all made up, all the lights and so forth, da-da-da-da. And I'm a light sleeper. And then, you know, I looked up, and at the end of the bed, I see my mom and my aunt inside the room, and she's laying a railroad track all the way around the bed, you know. And I just roll over and I look off the side while she's bending over. She doesn't even see me. And they're trying to put it underneath the bed and everything, and it's all elaborate. And I'm still watching, and my auntie's, shh, be quiet. And they bumping into the bed. I crawl down to the other end, and I see him put the last part on, snap. And I said, "That looks nice." And she goes, "What? You went."
You saw that.
You know, I can't even remember what age I was when I found out. But go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just saying, and my mom would like this, well, it's about time. Dana don't put the work in, I'll put in. And then she said, now go to sleep.
Wow.
That was my introduction to Santa, so. Yeah,
well, you know, I think this is the year for me that my son is finding out, and he's finding out not because I just told him, hey, there's no Santa, but because we had a very high-level conversation about Schwartz Pete, and I was doing some research, and I had some things on my computer and we were watching something on TV, and he asked me about Santa, and I was saying, you know, Santa used to be green, and the Coca-Cola company decided that they were going to commission an artist to, you know, paint Santa the Coca-Cola color. So it was just kind of an interesting little conversation we had. He was intelligent and very mature about it, but we got to talking about Schwartz Peak. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I had to break it down for him that over in Holland, Santa had a helper, some say slave. Some say he is a black person. Other people say that he's a white person who used to go down the chimney for Santa because Santa couldn't fit. And so he became Mr. Schwartz Pete, Black Pete. So I got a little clip that I've loaded, and I would like – I'm just going to play it, and then let's delve into a little bit more after the discussion.
So on Christmas is approaching, of course, a time of unity and festivity, and the Dutch city of Gouda has already welcomed Santa Claus, but alongside the excited children were protesters scuffling with police. And these people were angry about Black Pete, who is Santa's traditional sidekick there. 60 people were arrested for demonstrating away from locations that were set aside for protest, 30 more for disturbing public order. Artie Zarina Galushka looks at why they're so much upset.
Winter holidays are supposed to be about gifts, fun, and treats aplenty. In the Netherlands, traditionally, the main provider of entertainment is Black Pete.
He's a merry, colorful, joyous man who has been around for centuries, signifying the beginning of the holiday season in the Netherlands. Schwarze Piet, or Black Piet, has been a tradition for a very long time, but now he's become the center of such controversy that his character may just be consigned to Christmas's past.
The perceived problem with Black Piet is the name. He's black. Some pressure groups and activists believe he's a mockery to people of African descent.
Black Pete is one of St. Nicholas's helpers in our present-day folklore. And being a helper of a big man with a white beard, who is also Caucasian-looking, to many people looks like, well, this could be a remnant of slavery.
Even the UN has been summoned to make a ruling and found the character indeed racist. The people in charge of Christmas, the Dutch Santa Claus welcoming committee, believe concessions must be made.
You're now in Amsterdam, and that's a city where we hate discrimination, where we love tolerance, and there's absolutely no space for this discrimination. But it will take time. People have to get adjusted to it.
But others believe this is political correctness gone too far, and a character that harks back to pre-Christian times has no place in a debate on racism.
I think the common...
Okay, so that's a little bit on Black Pete. And I just wanted to pull that up. Like I said, I was doing some research, and I got into this conversation with my son about it. And and it made me kind of think, like, you know, we have all these traditions and things like that, and a lot of folks believe that based in religious context, religious perspectives, Santa Claus or Saint Nick, the original one, was actually, if I remember correctly, I believe he was in Italy, and it was a gentleman whose family left him a lot of money when they passed away. And there was a girl who was getting married, and she didn't have the money for a dowry or something, and he covered it. But he said that the catch is nobody can tell her that I footed the bill. And each year he basically was a philanthropist. He just went around giving folks gifts, you know, anonymously. So they say that that's kind of the legend of it, and that was prior to, you know, having Black Pete attached to it. And in some lore, Black Pete is actually somebody who punishes that they weren't good that year, and they have him kind of fiendishly drawn. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that. I know tonight we're going to probably break down, you know, some perspectives on religion a little bit more in tonight's show, but what's your perspective on Black Pete, Trey?
Well, here's the thing. I'm on the side that matters a damn.
Right.
Christmas, you know, it's like this. Look. I know that and I'm sorry, little Timmy, but I know that there's not a fella who comes down the chimney, especially since I don't have one, which means that, that means that, you know, Santa is, I mean, if you stop and think about it, Santa's, he's cool, but he's a criminal, breaking and entering, unlawful entry, you know.
Oh my God.
My thing is, tradition, I think too much of the PC thing has come into the effect of tradition. Now, you know, we can consider some things that are offensive, but this kind of predates it kind of predates the Christmas holiday as we know it today. There was something called, and correct me if I have it the wrong way, it was called Canoronulus. This was done in from Roman times. Now, it happened between December 17th and December 25th. And we'll elaborate more on it later. But, and this was like a time of just straight ignorance, excuse my French, of when they allowed any and everything to happen. But gifts, in order to get something illicit, you had to give a gift first. And it was noted by senators and governors, princes and kings, you know, royal hierarchy. And this is out of Rome's time. And then this is also, you know, before Christmas, before Christ. So
the Romans had some pretty crazy stuff going on back there too.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And it was this. It was from when it came about, this little holiday. It happened once a year between December 17th and December 25th, according, you know, what records keepers could make it. And it was an exchange of gifts for illicit favor. But they did. It was unlawfulness that was just happening at the time. But the monument that it's grown into be today, And we're even in the moment where it's changing now, and now it's become so commercial. It's ridiculous. The idea of what Christmas stood for is slowly diminishing. It was supposed to be for family, goodwill, peace on earth, love toward thy neighbor. If you ask a person what Christmas stands for, they go, "Oh yeah, man, it's Black Friday, man, so that you know you can have gifts for your tree." What? You know what happened to the love of that fellow man, the favor of supping with your neighbor, to eat with your neighbor, to feed those that didn't have, to clothe those that didn't have clothes. Those things, those important little values, they're missing. Respect for your fellow man, goodwill on earth, not just in Chicago or New York or in the U.S., on earth. You know, fellowship for everyone. I mean, stop and think about it. If people lived by the values of what Christmas is supposed to stand for, taking the Christianity factor out of it, you know, taking Christ from this side of it for the moment, with no disrespect to anyone that's Christian, especially my own home. But if we lived by those things, think about it. Wars stopped when Christmas time came. For the week, we're going to uphold Christmas and respect that no one will cross the lines or shoot a fire or shoot a cannon or fire a bullet. What?
For a single day to do all that?
That's incredible.
Right. So my point is to go from a day where there's no war, there's no fighting, there's no anything to someone slides down your chimney and throws something under your tree to the commercials of buy, buy, buy. It is Black Friday. You know, come get your Christmas things and this, that, and the other. I think it's
why gotta be black?
Transition that.
Right.
Well, see, the original question was, what was your thoughts on Swartz Pete? Because, you know,
true.
The character
right.
is actually portrayed by someone who is white, or even if they're highly unlikely, but if they're portrayed by someone black, the person wears blackface. So it kind of harkens back to the minstrel shows of, you know, the early American days and things like that. And that was the point that I was kind of making. You know, I'm not knocking Christmas. I'm not knocking St. Nick or Santa Claus if you choose to have your kids believe in that. I often wonder, though, you know, what causes folks to – let's just be honest. We don't have the kids. I mean, what does a rabbit have to do with Easter? What does chocolate have to do with Easter? What does the reindeer have to do with the spirit of giving? You know, I don't know. I'm gonna totally shift gears on you real quick here. I don't know if any of you have seen the commercial on or the little ad on Facebook that's circulating on YouTube, where the guy is he's hunting and he gets a reindeer and he's like, oh my goodness, he shot one and then found out that he had like five or six more with him, and as he stops looking through the scope and approaches the little hill, you know, he just shot all of Santa's reindeer. It was kind of a messed up commercial. I don't know if y'all have seen that, but
no.
You know, it makes you like wonder, like, oh, the guy is he's hunting, and he looks through the scope and he sees a deer and he's like, bam, just straight shot. And he kind of from one direction with his scope, sees another, bam, another good shot. He like ends up shooting like, you know, five or six deer, and then he goes up the hill to see his work. And it's, they're all chained to a they're all tethered to Santa's sleigh, and he's down the chimney somewhere, and he has just shot all the reindeer. It's kind of sad. I mean, on a very dark level, it's a little bit funny, but it's really sad because he was like, "Oh, look at all those deer I shot." He gets up and he's like, "Whoops."
No, never Christmas commercial.
But I'll try and find a clip in Tennessee. But you know, it's just funny because we tie all these things. I don't mean funny like you killed Santa's reindeer funny, but we have all these different things that represent these holidays, and we get away from what the origin was. You know, we talk about, you hear St. Nick, but kids today, they don't know who St. Nick is. You know, and if they don't follow that particular faith or belief system, they may not even understand the nature of any of that stuff. But if you want to get technical, if Christmas is a Christian holiday, what does Santa have to do with Jesus? You know what I mean? So it's funny how we really stretch that out and go a direction. Lady Sincere, you've been awfully quiet. I'm interested to hear what your perspective is.
No, it's just that I've been sitting back and I've been listening, but it seems like why do we try to take God away from certain things? Like how you said, James, you know, we, for Easter, you know, we associate that with the Easter bunny. You know, why do we take God away from certain things? And why does it matter if Pete was black or white? Why must you say black Pete? Why does it matter when it's a time of giving and sharing? Does it matter about what his color is? You know what I mean? They were
I think because he looks like the minstrel character is why people were upset. In the United States and in some other places, because he's basically a character in blackface. Now, I don't know if y'all remember when Ted Danson went with Whoopi Goldberg to the party and he put on blackface.
He was with the Toastmasters Club.
Something like that. He put on blackface, and I remember seeing this picture, and I was thinking, what the heck was this guy thinking? You know, I don't understand what his perspective was or how he. What I don't understand what he was trying to communicate.
just so I can put this out there, if for those listening, look up minstrels. This was from old days of vaudeville. And
yes,
it's my belief, slightly switching up on you, but still inside the same realm. It's my belief that people are a little lost as to why they believe some things are offensive. Well, if you know the origin of a thing and you see that it's in poor taste, then you have a tendency to understand where those that have a more respectful value will have something opposing to say. If you look back toward the early days of vaudeville, you'll see that they used to paint their faces all black. These were Caucasians, not that it's a color issue, but unfortunately this is where it came from. And they used to make fun of how they saw black people at the time. And it usually came from times of slavery. So they go like, they paint their faces all black, and then they would paint their mouths white because, well, you know, everybody gets dry mouth. You know, your lips get dry. That's why they got chapstick and Caramix now. But with African Americans, it has a tendency to turn a little white around the mouth. And if your lips are just a slight shade of pink, well, if you're Caucasian, it's a wonderful thing, but it's just the blend. But if you're of a darker hue, then it tends to stand out a little. They used to go, "Yes, sir. Me like to want to go get some of that there watermelon for you, sir. I could do that for you, sir, ma'am and boss." And then after a while, you start having African-Americans in the audience or that became a little bit more educated or that were more educated, that were a little more astute, start seeing this and they say, hey, that's a nasty depiction of us, where we came from. We're not like that anymore.
Right.
So now you flash forward 50, 60, 70 years or something and then 50 years and then you go like this. They don't talk like that anymore. And they never really did, but they don't talk like that anymore. They don't act like that. They don't look like that. Their faces are not jet black. Their mouths are not straight white. So all of a sudden, people become a little more aware, and they say, hey, this is offensive. Drop that.
Very.
Right. And see, here's something else I pulled up while we were talking. Originally, a minstrel was a medieval European singer who performed songs whose lyrics told stories of distant places or of existing or imaginary historical events. Although minstrels created their own tales, often they would memorize and embellish the works of others. Now, that being said, another really interesting thing I found, blackface.com/minstrel-shows .htm. You have here, it says, if I could have the N-word show back again, adjusting there, in its pristine purity, I should have little use for opera. That was Mark Twain. And then they have a little quote by Frederick Douglass that said, blackface performers are, quote, the filthy scum of white society that have stolen from us a complexion denied them by nature in which to make money and pander to the corrupt taste of their fellow citizens, of their white fellow citizens. That was Frederick Douglass. So I think that is probably the root of why people are finding it offensive, tying that in to what you were saying, Trey, because that was a very intrinsic presentation of the facts that I think that folks have to realize that, you know, Schwartz Pete, I understand from, you know, the context of what they're saying, you know, he was dirty going down the chimney, but he does look like a person participating in the minstrel show. So I think that's the issue. And just real briefly before, I know we're going to tie it up here soon, but someone from the Netherlands came over to, I want to say it was like Atlanta or somewhere in the South, and they showed folks there the picture of Schwartz Pete. And people were just offended to no end. And you say, okay, now that you're offended, let me tell you who he is. He says, this is a part of our culture and why he looks like that. And those same people who were 30 seconds before that offended were like, oh, well, if it's a part of your culture, then I kind of accept it. I can see kind of where you're coming from. And I thought that was an interesting switch because the folks that he was showing the picture to were African-American. And then they were highly offended. And then he said, here's what it is. Like, eh, we're not so offended. A couple guys are still like, yeah, I'm still
here. Exactly.
Some folks are like, oh, okay, I get it. So it's just kind of an interesting perspective. Folks, we're going to address this we're going to delve a little bit more into religion tonight. Catch us tonight on RadioPhoenix.org from 7 to 8 here Arizona time. And we're going to dig a little bit more into Christmas. We're going to talk about a couple points on religion, not to disassemble anybody else's religion, but we're just going to look at some different perspectives on things maybe that perhaps we've taken for granted.
Yes.
Trey, I know that we've got a lot that we want to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a lot that we want to talk about tonight. I would love to extend this conversation, and this is very cool because we actually get to do that later on tonight. So we'll be live tweeting at OnPoint, at OnPointPHX, and then also you can reach us on Gmail at OnPointPHX at Gmail. And would you be so kind as to take us out?
Most deaf. You know what? Raise your glasses, everybody, bottoms to the top. And remember, every thought, every idea is great, just great, fantastic. Every single thing that you could think of that adds to your community, to the betterment of something, is warranted. For every step you take, for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point.
Thank you.